Howdy, howdy, Houston, and very happy Monday to you. It is Monday of the second week of Easter. It is April 13th in the year of our Lord, 2026, and you are listening to Catholic Lunch Break. This is the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsbee. I'm host and executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. We appreciate your support of our ministry, the Guadalupe Radio Network. We appreciate your listening. Here's what's on the program for today. We are promoting vocations and Catholic education like we always love to do. Father Randy Gibbons, the president of Cristo Rey Jesuit College Prep in Houston, will join us to talk about his role. Father Randy took the reins as president of Cristo Rey at the beginning of 2025, so we'll get him to reflect on what he's learned as president of a Catholic college prep. We'll also ask him about his own vocation story and his discernment process, which led him to becoming a priest. On the topic of vocations, we'll also hear from Father Preston Quintella, who is gearing up for the annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game this Friday, plus a unique opportunity for a local professor to research a couple of Catholic priests at Oxford University in England. We'll hear from Dr. Dominic Aquila, a tenured professor of history at the University of St. Thomas. Dr. Aquila will talk about not only his love for history, but theology and music. He'll also provide some insight into the time he's going to be spending for several months in the United Kingdom. Before we do all that, though, we want to begin this program, Catholic Lunch Break, as we always do, in prayer. So if you join me now, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thine intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our local priests and seminarians are gearing up for a big game this Friday. Tickets are still on sale for the 9th annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game. The annual game raises money for seminarians in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston, and other vocation efforts here locally. The game time is at 7 o'clock, and the location is at Rice University Tudor Fieldhouse. Tickets can be purchased online through the Houston Vocations website. That's HoustonVocations.com. Now, we at KSHJ plan to broadcast the game once again here on AM 1430. So my thanks to my colleague, David Magianis. David is spearheading our efforts to broadcast the game that evening, again this Friday, April 17th. So if you can't make it in person, you can always listen right here on the radio, KSHJ. Now, one of those who are helping organizing the game and helped organize it since it started 9 years ago is Father Preston Quintella. Father Preston recently sat down with David Magianis on the campus of the University of St. Thomas to reflect on the value of organizing a basketball game like this one to promote holy vocations and to build up our local Catholic community. Father Preston says the need is great for vocations to the priesthood and religious life. He says he's getting older and won't be able to play in the game forever.
The reality is I'm going to get old. Okay, there's going to come a point where I cannot physically play anymore, and I won't be able to relate to these young people like I used to. And so that torch is going to be passed to the next group of seminarians, next group of young priests to help, you know, not only bridge that gap, but also teach and convey the faith that the early church did, you know, with the apostles and Peter and Paul. And what do? They handed down, you know, the faith. And then maybe these particular, whether apostles, priests, other lay people, they could articulate the faith in a way that maybe Peter and Paul could not articulate. Maybe somehow there was some other lay person that could convey the faith of Christ to people in a way that they could understand it. And so this is why it's so important. You know, we help strengthen the body of Christ and we pass down, because there will become a point where I don't relate anymore. And it's up to the next generation of young priests.
If you want to hear that full interview with Father Preston Quintella, we're going to be playing that during our broadcast of the Priests versus Seminarians basketball game this Friday evening, likely during the halftime break. So we want to thank everyone at UST Max Studios, including Darnell Miller, for partnering with the Guadalupe Radio Network in producing that interview. So again, we will broadcast the game on the radio, and you can listen to that full interview during that broadcast. And we'll also stream the video version on our YouTube page. So if you want to learn more about that, you can look for GRN Online on YouTube. So if you're YouTube savvy, look for our page on that one, GRN Online, for our YouTube page. Fullness of Truth is hosting its Summer Catholic Family Conference, June the 5th through the 7th. The Catholic Culture Revival 3.0 will be held at the Kalahari Resort and Convention Center in Round Rock, Texas. Conference speakers include Father Chad Ripperger, Kyle Clement, Jennifer Baugh, and Jesse Romero. There will also be a Saturday youth track and family-friendly activities. There's even a comedy show with Catholic convert Shane Smith. Conference registration and hotel information can be found on their website, fullnessoftruth.org. That's fullnessoftruth.org. You are invited to our next KSHJ prayer breakfast tomorrow morning. It's not too late to make plans to join us in Katy, Texas at Mi Pueblito. That's tomorrow morning, Tuesday, April 14th, starting at 7 a.m. The cost is only $10. You can register at the door, or you can help us out with our headcount by registering online right now. If you go onto our website, it's grnonline.com, and if you click on Events tab at the top, you can look for Catholic Prayer Breakfast. So again, log on to our website, grnonline.com, click on Events, Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and again, we hope you can join us in Katy, Texas, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. at Mi Pueblito restaurant. A big thank you to everyone at Cathedral High School in Houston. The Catholic school on the campus of Our Lady of Walsingham hosted the annual Sacred Art Live event this past Saturday. It was a joy for me to interview several of the Catholic artists from across the greater Houston area and also from across the country who had made their way to Houston. The goal of Sacred Art Live is to showcase living artists' work as a testament to what is true, beautiful, and good. Also, thank you to Cathedral High School's principal in particular, Dr. Alexis Kutarna. We are going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, we will talk with Father Randy Gibbons, president of Cristo Rey Jesuit. He'll talk to us about his vocation to the priesthood and how he's been adjusting since he took on the role of the school's president last year. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break on AM 1430.
If you are pregnant or worried you might be pregnant and don't know where to turn, we want to help. At Loving Choice Catholic Pregnancy Help Center, we offer free pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. And most importantly, the caring volunteers at Loving Choice will listen to you and provide compassionate options to help put you at ease. You are not alone. We are here for you every step of this journey. For more information, visit loving-choice.org. That's loving-choice.org.
Mr. Potty Plumbing is a proud sponsor of this radio station, AM 1430. Paul and Dorinda Obsta are the owners of Mr. Potty Plumbing and attend Mass at St. Bartholomew in Katy. Mr. Potty provides plumbing services for the Katy, Sugarland, Cypress, and surrounding areas. Their slogan is, "When your plumbing is naughty, call Mr. Potty." Their website is callmrpotty.com. That's callmrpotty.com.
Have you taken account of your spiritual life lately? Hopefully listening to the GRN helps you do that. Joel Matthews here, partner with Turlington & Matthews. We're located in Katy, Texas, and we are proud supporters of KSHJ AM 1430. As certified public accountants, we provide comprehensive financial services to individuals, small and medium-sized businesses, and other agencies. Our website is www.tmcpafirm.com. That's www.tmcpafirm.com. May God bless you.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee with you, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430. It's been a little bit more than a year since Cristo Rey Jesuit in Houston got a new president in Father Randy Gibbons. Father Randy has been a teacher, chaplain, but he's never been the president of a college prep prior to 2025, so we invited Father Randy back here to the KSHJ studio to talk about his experience and to provide some insight into his own vocation as a priest. Joining us on the Guadalupe Radio Network is the president of Cristo Rey Jesuit College Prep in Houston. It's Father Randy Gibbons. Father Randy has been the president since January of 2025. Father Randy, welcome back to the KSHJ studio. Always nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So you've been the president now a little bit over a year, as I'd mentioned. a little bit, I would think, a little bit nerve-wracking. This is the first time for you ever being the president of a school. You've been chaplain, teacher, you know, all this kind of things, but a president of a school, I imagine it's been a big learning curve.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind, okay. And it's humbling in the sense that you see how much goes behind the scenes and how much goes into operating a school. Mm-hmm. You see how many directors are on campus running departments and ensuring the kids' learning, the kids' safety, ensuring the financial stability and success of the school. And the first thing that, at least for me, is you recognize just how much goes into it and how hard people work to keep a school going well.
And I'm sure you're very appreciative of all those people on staff, teachers, everybody that kind of helped
along
the way.
Oh, yes. They make you look good because, you know, there's so many wonderful things about the school, and people are often telling me those wonderful things, but I know who it is on the front line, so to speak, who are making the school so successful and such a wonderful, joyful place.
Very good. So bring our listeners, our viewers online up to speed on Cristo Rey Jesuit. For people who aren't familiar, this is a college prep school, but it's unique in that it also has work placement program and allows students really to set themselves up for success.
Correct. The whole premise behind the Cristo Rey model is, and which we're a part of, is to make a Catholic high school education accessible. And so what we do is we try to keep our family costs very low, our tuition payments very low, and the main way we do that is by sending all of our students to work one day a week. So we're about 500 students. Every student goes to work. We deploy students by their grade levels. So, for example, all of our seniors work on Monday, all of our juniors on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. But that it provides our kids with amazing learning experiences. It helps them get a sense of, you know, what their goals and their dreams are professionally. But very practically, it also offsets a large part of our operating expenses every year.
Many of these students aren't able to afford a good Catholic education.
Correct.
At the high school level if it weren't for this Cristo Rey Jesuit model. So I know that so many are appreciative of it. So many families are involved with the school as well. We even have we've had interns here. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Jaquan, by the way, senior who's been with us this semester. Tell me about the importance of just family being involved with all of this. Like I said, it seems like you guys have a really good community.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, I would say from its very inception, Cristo Rey networked and partnered very closely with some of the Catholic grammar schools. Mm-hmm. On the east side in central Houston, mostly working class families, families who had made great sacrifices to send their students to Catholic schools, Catholic elementaries. And so they were kind of our original clientele, were kids coming out of Catholic schools looking for an affordable option. And so those families, many of those families are still with us today, whether it's younger siblings or cousins or neighbors or whatever it might be. But that initial connection with those Catholic grammar schools has been very, very important for our success and very, very important to help us get rooted in the community.
Yeah, I know being rooted in the community is so important, like I said, because of the, you know, again, them being interns in, you know, different, you know, work study, whether it's nonprofit like our organization or at the corporate, you know, mm-hmm. businesses here across the greater Houston area. I know having all of those connections is so important. You guys have, you'd mentioned me before we got started, that board members that are part of all across the greater Houston area. So those connections are so important. Remind me now, how many students do you guys have now at Cristo Rey?
So we have about 500. So, mm-hmm. you know, we target about 125 per grade level. Mm-hmm. And between all the different partners, you know, talking about corporate work study, some of our corporate work study partners will take on a team of 8 students. Some of our partners mm-hmm. will take on 1 or 2, and we're incredibly grateful for every partnership. I think overall we have typically each year we have between 150, 160 corporate work study partners who help us and take on a student and give them an internship.
Very good. Is about 500 where you guys at? Is that kind of where you're planning to be next for the next few years?
Yes, that's a really good number for us. You know, mm-hmm. you know, if I put on, I'm not the principal, but if I put on my principal's hat, I know that that's a great target because mm-hmm. that can keep our class sizes around 25. And that can keep us around 5 sections at each grade level per class. So the economics of it works out well at 500.
Right.
I think if we are to grow, the next step would be to jump all the way to 600, just based on the economy of scale of hiring teachers and things like that. But we're very happy at 500. Our kids, we feel like, you know, no one slips through the cracks. Every student is known, is loved, mm-hmm. Is cared for. It's a really great size. It's a special size for a high school.
Yeah, very good. Tell me a little bit more about how you kind of balance an internship and working with, you know, some of these really demanding you know, classes. I know you guys offer AP classes, for example. How do you kind of begin to balance that? I would think, you know, I'd gone to Strake Jesuit for high school. I know just going to school, college prep is tough in and of itself. But then if you're a student also doing this additional internship and then schedules are different, it just seems to me overwhelming to try to do everything. How do you guys begin to do that and keep it like in line where the students can kind of, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And to add on to that, I mean, I'd start off by saying the kids come in, you know, so much of what's good about our school, it comes from our families. Mm-hmm. Our families have are very often like hard working families. And
yeah.
So the kids have mm-hmm. a great work ethic. On top of corporate work study, many of our students, they help with, you know, they care for their little brothers and sisters. And I can't tell you how many times I've driven around Houston and I see one of our students at the Chick-fil-A or at the HEB or at the Kroger working. Mm-hmm. So they from a very early age, they've grown accustomed to working hard, giving of themselves for others. But I think, you know, with the corporate work study, in a lot of ways, I think it energizes and charges them. Mm-hmm. The part that's, I think, probably the most taxing for our students is because they go to work one day a week, we have to make up for that time in class. And so our school day starts at 7:30, it ends at 4:00. So they're I would say that's probably the most taxing, grueling part is they're in school for a very long time. They take 8 classes a day. I think, you know, most high schools would take 6 or 7 each day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a testament to our teachers because our teachers are there for a long day and they typically teach more classes than you would at a traditional school. So I think they work up their endurance. You know, I think the students at first, you know, it's kind of like any other great step in life. You just you're overwhelmed at first, but then little by little you gain the muscle to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then you gain the confidence. And by the time they're seniors, it's really like it's just kind of natural to them.
Yeah.
You know, to be putting the hours and studying late at night and working on the weekends and, you know, studying on the weekends. So I think, you know, we pose a challenge to our kids and the kids rise to the challenge.
Yeah. And you're right. It's definitely setting themselves up for success in the real world because they're willing to work long hours and they know what it's like.
No, that's correct. I'll tell you a funny story. We have we're blessed to be building an additional, we're adding on a building to our campus. We're adding a STEAM building mm-hmm. to our campus, and the Harvey Construction is in the process of getting it going, Harvey Cleary.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a little tour with the architect and the contractors and some of the other folks involved. And at the end, I said, hey, you know, it'd be great to get some of our students over here, especially some of the young men and women who have expressed interest in construction management.
Mm-hmm.
And the head contractor kind of chuckled. He said, oh, I already had one of your kids come over here, ask me if he could work with us this summer. I was like, that's a Christo Rey student right there, just hustling, looking for opportunities, putting himself out there. I was very impressed by that young man.
Yeah. That's a great story. I love that. I love that. I know there are a lot of students that are the exact same way. So, mm-hmm. so very good. I also want to ask you, Father Randy, in general, I want to make it adjustment here to just Jesuit model in general. I know that there are so many schools across the country are Jesuit, have Jesuit priests. You yourself had gone to a Jesuit school in New Orleans, and so I want to ask you about the importance of having that basis of a Catholic education like that, and if it kind of helped you in your discernment process, you're setting yourself up for the rest of your life, again, also becoming a teacher and things like that.
Very much. You know, I graduated from Jesuit High School, New Orleans in 1995. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a place, when I look back on it, it was a very competitive place in the sense that mm-hmm. a lot of very driven young men looking to succeed in life. And so really, you know, the job of the faculty and staff there was to help expand our conscience to being men for others, you know. And so they did that clearly just through the type of people they hired, through the retreat program, through all the different offerings at the school. It was they take these young men who are very driven, looking to succeed in the world, but then helping them form their hearts to always take into consideration the needs of the people around them. I can remember going on a senior retreat or a junior retreat. I can remember having a very powerful experience going to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, and I think that's been a moment that's anchored me, you know, my entire life. Is that I know that I can find God, I can find God's love, forgiveness, care, in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And I think, you know, just the availability of Mass, the availability of spiritual conversation with the priests on campus, I think that was just a really great part of my formation. Mm-hmm. You know, when I moved on, you know, I have to be honest, I never thought that I'd be a priest when I was in high school or even college. But when I kind of got that bit by the vocations bug, you know, and I started looking at the different religious orders and the different possibilities out there, it was this very clear sense that, no, your home is with the Jesuits. That's the spiritual atmosphere that you breathed in. That's where you feel at home. That's the language that you learn to speak to God and about God with. And so it was just a very natural fit. I also have a cousin who became a Jesuit several years before me. So that had a great influence on me as well.
What was it about Jesuit tradition, that religious order in particular, as opposed to, you know, diocesan priests, other religious orders?
You know, I think when I, you know, I always loved, in high school at least, I really loved the stories of the early Jesuit missionaries who would take great risks and who would be incredibly creative and bold in trying to bring the gospel to people. I can remember every year they would show us the mission, you know, the movie about the missions down in the reductions in Paraguay. Mm-hmm. And I remember that just being very inspired by the courage of the early Jesuits. I think as I entered the Jesuits, what I find so helpful is the style of prayer that the Jesuits do. So St. Ignatius of Loyola wrote the spiritual exercises, and he himself became a bit of a mystic. He was a contemplative, and you know that he kind of teaches us how to pray with Scripture in an imaginative way, in a way that kind of brings to life the stories of Christ, the stories of the Bible. And I think, for me, it's that sort of bold missionary spirit with this very accessible spirituality that can really foster a very real and a very very powerful relationship with Jesus.
Good reminder to all of us, whether clergy or layperson, that it's our responsibility to take Christ's message out into the world.
Correct.
So very good. And again, like I said, such a strong formation in Catholic education as well, kind of sets yourself up for success for the rest of your life as well. You had also mentioned before, I just want to give a shout out, you mentioned the sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
If people haven't been to Reconciliation for a while, we're talking during the Easter season, you know, it's not too late. Go to Reconciliation, go to Mass. If you haven't been back to Mass in a while, it's an extraordinary thing. So I want to encourage people to do that as well. If people want to learn more about Cristo Rey Jesuit, remind me now, what's going on? Are you all preparing for the next semester, finishing up this one? What's going on right now in the calendar?
So right now we're approaching finals and graduation season, which are, you know, kind of mid to the end of May. We're still firmly in the middle of our application season. You know, we interview every single kid or every single young man or woman who's coming because, you know, we want to make sure that they're a good fit for our corporate work study model. We're in the midst of a couple of very competitive athletic seasons, our baseball team, our softball team, our track team. But I should mention our soccer teams this week, this Tuesday, is playing in the city championship. So we're really excited for sort of the momentum that we're taking into this last month of the year.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Remind me the website where people can learn more.
Yeah. So it's very easy. We're www.cristoreyjesuit.org. So check us out. There's lots of great links, lots of articles.
How did y'all get that website?
I don't know. That's a great.
Because there's other Cristo Rey models across the country, right?
There's 41 other Cristo Rey schools, and I want to say about 15 of them are sponsored by the Jesuits. So there are 15 other Cristo Rey Jesuit schools out there, but we managed to somehow get the website. So that was smart thinking on our early marketing or communications team's part.
Very good. And remind me the year that it was established.
Now, so we established 2008.
2008. Okay, very good. Well, again, God bless the work that, again, all the students do, the faculty, staff, everything that's going on there. Because, like I said, I know there's so many it sets a firm foundation for the rest of their life, having strong Catholic education, strong work ethic, and know that we'll be praying for you and all the students and everything that you guys are doing.
Thank you so much.
Again, Father Randy Gibbons, President, Cristo Rey Jesuit. Always a pleasure to have you here, Father Randy.
No, thanks for having me.
Coming up after the break, we'll talk with Dr. Dominic Aquila from the University of St. Thomas. Dr. Aquila has been invited to serve as a visiting research scholar at Oxford University in England. So we'll talk with him about what that entails and how he'll be spending some time researching a couple of Catholic priests. Stay with us. You're listening to Catholic Lunch Break here on KSHJ AM 1430. Southeast Houston Cardiology is a proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network and enjoys great programming such as The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarindi. Southeast Houston Cardiology has been serving patients with heart disease and vascular disease with up-to-date care. Southeast Houston Cardiology has two locations, Webster and Pasadena. You can contact them online at southeasthoustoncardiology.com or 281-338-4004.
Hello, Houston. Join us for a fun-filled day at the St. Ambrose Catholic Church Bazaar Saturday, April 26th. Bring your family and friends and enjoy tasty foods, drinks, games for the kiddos, and plenty of good company. The party begins at 11 a.m. and features a silent auction and live music throughout the day. And don't forget to buy your raffle tickets for a chance to win great prizes. The St. Ambrose Church Bazaar Saturday, April 26th. Check out their website, stambrose.org. That's stambrose.org.
Deacon Glenn Trahan here, owner of the TRW family of companies and proud sponsor of the Guadalupe Radio Network. For 60 years, TRW has helped our clients to optimize the use of their facilities with operable wall products, creating effective, flexible, and acoustically controlled workspaces, making them more productive and successful. And TRW is committed to supporting ministries that also make our community and our world a better place, just like this Guadalupe Radio Network station. You can contact me at trwfamily.com. God bless.
Welcome back to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we talk about all things Catholic in the greater Houston area. My name is Wyatt Goolsby. I'm the executive director of this radio station, KSHJ. A local professor and friend of this radio station will be spending time at Oxford University in England later this summer. Dr. Dominic Aquila has been invited to serve as a visiting research scholar. That means for several months, he's going to be spending time researching a couple of Catholic priests on the campus of Oxford and spending time with English Dominicans. Joining us on the program is a tenured professor at the University of St. Thomas in Houston, Dr. Dominic Aquila. Dr. Aquila is a professor of history and a core fellow. He's a founding dean of the School of Arts and Sciences. He served as provost, VP of academic affairs, dean of the graduate studies from 2008-2017. Dr. Aquila is also well-educated himself with two doctoral degrees, MBA from NYU, bachelor's degree in music from Juilliard. Dr. Aquila, welcome in. I feel like you got a great resume there. Soon to add to it, right? You're thinking about a master's.
Yes, I've begun a master's in music theory.
Oh, very good.
It's something that I started when I was an undergraduate many, many years ago, and I never got a chance to finish it. So now I have the chance, and so I want to add that to the list.
I know everybody knows you have a love for theology, love for history, but music too.
Yeah, no, music has always been my constant accompaniment. I've never let it slide in my life, and it's been great, especially with all my family loves music, I wanted to do it for me, you know, for myself. It's not going to advance my career in any way, but it's just something I wanted to do.
Very good. Well, as if that weren't enough on an impressive resume, you've got another big thing coming up this summer, really here in April is when it begins. You're going to be serving as a visiting research scholar at the University of Oxford in the United Kingdom. Tell me, what does that mean?
Yeah, so it's something I applied for, and it corresponds with something else that's unique in my career.
Okay.
I've been in higher education for over 40 years, mm-hmm. and I've never had a sabbatical. Typically, a professor will get a sabbatical every 7 years, as the name sabbatical suggests. Mm-hmm. I've never taken one, so I'm having one in the fall, and I decided to apply to Oxford to see if I could spend some time there doing research. Because one of the projects that I've been on my list to accomplish is a dual biography of two great Oxford priests, Father Martin Darcy, who is a Jesuit, and Father B. Jarrett, who is a Dominican. They were rough contemporaries, but both of them really began their careers during a time when the reestablishment of the English hierarchy, the English Catholic hierarchy, was less than a century old. And in fact, there was still, especially with Father B. Jarrett, he's a little older than Father Darcy. He was only 30 years old. I mean, he was born, I should say, only 30 years after the reestablishment of the hierarchy. So I'm interested in their work, but I'm interested in what it's like to sort of rebuild a Catholic presence in England in an institutional way in a time when it's still kind of raw.
Yeah, and I appreciate your clarifying some of the history there because, you know, when I think of the United Kingdom, I think is sort of the Protestant hub, mm-hmm. you know, where the Protestant Reformation, a lot of that had happened. But in addition to that, you know, there's just been a lot of Catholic presence over the years. At the University of Oxford, there's something called Blackfriars mm-hmm. Hall. Tell me what that is.
Yeah, so Blackfriars has a long, storied history, but then that history broke with the Protestant English Reformation in the early 1500s. So it was just sort of wiped off the map. Father B. Jarrett, the Dominican who I'm studying, reestablished it in the early 1920s. So Blackfriars is a college within the Oxford system. So what happens is in the Oxford, it's a university, mm-hmm. but it's made up of many, many different colleges. And so Blackfriars was readmitted to that community of colleges where students can study there and get degrees and reestablish the Dominican presence at Blackfriars. And that's why I'm really interested in Father B. Jarrett. He wrote a lot, mm-hmm. too. He was very influential in both men, Father Darcy and Father Jarrett, were highly influential in a kind of resurgence of Catholic culture in Britain. All of the great English writers and scholars mm-hmm. and somewhere or another came into contact with either Father Darcy or Father B. Jarrett.
Yeah. And I appreciate you clarifying that we're talking about Catholic intellectual culture, thought, because there's so much intellectual thought in the history of England. Mm-hmm. These priests kind of are reestablishing kind of the Catholic culture. What do you think makes it different in terms of what they kind of brought to the table in terms of just, you know, academics, conversations?
Yeah, well, first of all, even both Father Darcy, who's a Jesuit, and Father B. Jarrett are well schooled in the philosophy and theology of St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
So bringing that back into the institution, it never goes away, but bringing it, giving it an institutional voice with, you know, actual degrees, especially in the Dominican case, is crucially important.
Yeah.
But both priests in They started out mostly in influence of literary culture. For example, Evelyn Waugh, a convert, was very. In fact, he knew both men, Darcy and Jarrett. Tolkien, J.R.R. Tolkien, who's, you know, just an amazing cultural figure. He was very good friends with Father Martin Darcy. C.S. Lewis was very good friends. And then Father B. Jarrett, what I discovered once the Black Friars were reestablished in Oxford, J.R.R. Tolkien actually served Mass there at the Black Friars. And others did too, less famous. There's a current he just passed away in the past 4 or 5 years, named Roger Scruton. Extraordinary intellect, just a true Renaissance man. He also, although he never converted to Catholicism, Roger Scruton was very active with the Black Friars. He used to go to Mass there. So, there's a kind of sacramental presence that's crucial. There's a philosophical and theological presence. But then, that radiates out into the world of literary culture. Mm-hmm. And even Father Darcy commissioned a very famous architect to redo the Campion Hall. And Father Darcy was amazing at the kind of art he collected for Campion Hall. That's the Jesuit house, the Jesuit college in Oxford. And so you could see gradually how things radiate out from an institutional presence, theology, the sacraments, philosophy, then literary culture, and even the visual arts. Yeah,
that's incredible. Well, that's so happy to hear that you're going to be there as a visiting research scholar for, 3 months roughly?
Yeah, so, be about 3 months. And then I want to take an excursion to Rimini in Italy, because every year at Rimini, a movement called Communion Liberation, CL for short, it has this major event at Rimini, Italy. And this year, the Pope is going to be there. Pope Leo is going to be there. So while I'm on that side of the ocean, I want to be there for that.
Yeah, well, I hope you'll take some pictures.
Many.
Yeah, very good. I also want to give a shout-out to your wife, because we've had her on the program before. Anything particular that she's looking forward to being there with you?
She's actually starting to write a book on her experience. We have 11 children, and they're all adults now, but we homeschool them all. And so that experience of homeschooling, but crucially important to our family culture was food. And so what Diane wants to do is sort of weave together the whole family culture that we had, homeschooling, but especially recipes that track the liturgical year. So, some other folks have done that, but Diane's approach to it is very unique.
Very good. Well, it's definitely needed, especially in this time where often we don't emphasize in our secular culture the importance of just getting back to the table, being able to gather around a family table. So I think that's fantastic.
Growing up, that's the way I grew up, and I'm Diane as well. Mm-hmm. We just took it for granted in our family. So I'm always shocked to hear, that people routinely do not do that. And that's it's an extraordinary event when a family gets together instead of something that is, regular and part of one's life.
Well, we would encourage any of our listeners or viewers of this video, if they haven't gotten together with friends or family just in a dinner setting or something like that, how powerful that can be, just to be able to gather together. So that's very exciting. Again, you're going to be there for about 3 months. It's what they call in the UK the Trinity term, or I guess at the University of Oxford, Trinity term. And because they do their semesters a little bit differently as well. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Quill, as you're kind of researching these two priests that you had mentioned, and they're kind of rebuilding kind of the Catholic intellectual culture there in England at the University of Oxford, if you anticipate in your research that these priests run into some difficulties, I would think that there would still be, even back their times, some prejudice against Catholics.
Yeah, in general, especially when the English hierarchy, Catholic hierarchy was reestablished, there was fierce opposition to it. There were demonstrations in the streets. They would parade effigies of the Pope in public and desecrate them. So now, one of the things that I really admire, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do this project is, during a period of kind of reestablishment where, the Catholic Church was deinstitutionalized, how do you go about rebuilding that presence?
Right.
And both men were incredibly charismatic, you know, in the sense that they drew people to them. So there wasn't, you know, they weren't involved in polemics against, you know, when they ran up against prejudice or discrimination or hostility, they didn't react to that. They just did what they did. One famous example, the great atheist philosopher Bertrand Russell and Father Darcy were friends. So
there you go.
You know, and there's this wonderful anecdote where Father Darcy was going to debate Bertrand Russell on the BBC program, and you know, they both got to the interview early, and so they were talking to each other, you know, as almost like friends, you know. So, to the disappointment, I think, of the BBC, it wasn't a fireworks debate, but rather civil understanding. There was it was a complete turnaround from what was expected, but that's
of the way the debates are supposed to be. Civil.
Yeah, and you know, they, of course there were disagreements, but there was always respect. You know, and a lot of that had to do. That's the way Father Darcy always operated.
Yeah,
and so I'm thinking, you know, if the experience of Britain in the late 19th century in the reestablishment of Catholicism in institution. You know, we face some of that here, too. I mean, you know, there is a strain of anti-Catholicism in America that still persists. Bishop Barron has, you know, focused on this a couple of times, you know, with the desecration of statues. But, you know, we're still in a rebuilding mode. And how do, you know, how do Catholics engage with those who are, you know, antagonistic to us? And so the model of these two priests is a perfect example. And then, you know, figure both priests were very friendly with J.R.R. Tolkien. Now, now, Tolkien is a way to begin a conversation with anybody, right? I mean, not only the books, you know, the Lord of the Rings and the Silmarillion and all this other thing, you know, it was made into a movie, right? So you have already a place to begin a conversation with people who are antagonistic to Catholicism or perhaps are just searching. And, you know, this kind of literary imagination that both Father Darcy and Father B. Jared encouraged, it's a place to begin. You know, I'm a big believer in trying to bring people to the faith. You begin with beauty. And beauty can be in the visual arts, it can be in music, but it's also beautiful literature. I mean, you know, I know people of all beliefs, atheists or not, who just revere the Lord of the Rings because of its the beauty of the story and the elegance of the prose, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and beauty is a way to be approachable for anybody, whether it's beauty in art, beauty in literature. Anybody can come up and make an observation about it and then learn a bit more. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I love that example. You mentioned both of these priests, Father Darcy and Father Jared, who, you know, again, had woven in a Catholic intellectual culture, but then also, like you said, had that personal example. I mean, them being good people, being civil, being engaging with other people, that sets a good example. Mm-hmm. And I guess it also kind of just ties into us as Catholics just being able to show love of our neighbor.
Yeah, and I can't think, again, another layer of this is that we live in a time where not just discussions about Catholicism are fraught with all sorts of, you know, tension, but the level of our conversation in public generally, especially with the, you know, the advance of social media, the tone of the conversation is just destructive. Mm-hmm. So how do we in a democracy, if you can't have civil conversation, then it's easily to descend into violence, you know, violence of words, violence of actions. So to restore kind of civility and conversation is kind of another byproduct of all of this. So, you know, and you know, Father Darcy and Jared, they're just exemplars of that.
Yeah, very good. Excellent. So, again, while you're there in England next, you know, 3 months or so, you'll be leaving soon. You'll be studying what? Their writings, works, what all you'll be looking into?
Yeah, I've collected everything that is possible to collect on this side of the Atlantic.
Okay.
So their books, their publications, and so now, and it's this is always like a wonderful discovery. Is I don't really know the extent of what's in the archives that I'll see at Oxford or the Blackfriars. There is an enormous amount of archival information there. So, and that whenever you do research, that's always the happy surprise. It's like, I didn't know this was there, you know?
Right.
And
so you're hoping for a few of those moments.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be because, you know, Oxford is famous for the meticulous nature of how they keep their archives. And so I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful kind of a voyage of discovery in reverse, right? I'm going from the United States to Europe to discover what's in these archives, you know?
And, you know, once you get more information, you learn more, is the idea to bring some of that, publicize it?
In this dual biography I'm doing, I'm modeling on an ancient way of writing biographies, you know, called Parallel Lives.
Okay.
So that, you know, you could, and both men, Darcy and Jarrett, were rough contemporaries, not exact contemporaries, but to see how in this culture of rebuilding, how they perhaps interacted with each other. I'm not sure the extent that they did. I'm sure they knew each other, but also to publish in a book, you know. So the book will be based on the writings that are available to the wide public, but also whatever I discover in the archives. And that's, you know, that's the high prize of archival research is finding things there that just are not available to the public. And bringing him to the public in a book.
Very good. Well, we will be praying and encouraging our listeners, our viewers here via video, to be praying for the work that you do so that more of, you know, knowledge about Father Darcy, Father Jarrett can come to light about how they interacted with other people, about how, you know, they helped kind of the renewal of the Catholic intellectual culture in England, because it is a fascinating topic and definitely relevant in this day and age where often we're apathetic about so many important topics like this. So it's definitely needed in this day and age.
Yeah, and I have to say a big word of gratitude to the University of St. Thomas, because I've been there almost 20 years now, and it's one of the few places right now in the United States that is committed to the Catholic intellectual tradition.
Yeah.
In other words, so an authentic engagement with it. You know, not trying to distort it, water it down, but really engage it in full force and to see how that intellectual tradition can inform the current problems and realities that we face in the year 2026 and beyond.
Very good. Well, we are excited to hear about that. I'm sure you'll be doing probably a lecture or something about that when you get back.
Yes.
Or a few of those.
Yes.
Yeah. So very good. We'll continue to keep up to speed with you and pray for that everything will go well. So again, Dr. Dominic Aquila, again, professor of history at Core Fellow, going to be a visiting research scholar this month of April through what, July?
Pretty much August. Well,
through August,
Trinity term ends technically at the end of June.
Yeah.
But I'm staying on there to work through the summer.
Very good. We'll also be looking forward to pictures of you and Diane in Italy.
Yeah.
Hopefully if you meet the Pope or something, or get close enough to him. I don't know.
Well, he's an American, you know, so I have that advantage.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Dr. Dominic Aquila, thank you so much. Always good to have you here.
Thank you for taking time with me.
If you're just now tuning in, you are listening to Catholic Lunch Break, the weekly program where we catch up with all things Catholic here in the greater Houston area. This is Wyatt Goolsbee, executive director of this radio station, KSHJ AM 1430, and it is Monday of the second week of Easter, April 13th. Want to do a quick reminder of a couple of big Catholic events going on, including one this upcoming Friday. Our local priests and seminarians are gearing up for that big game this Friday. Tickets are on sale for the 9th annual Priests versus Seminarians basketball game. The annual game raises money for seminarians and other vocations efforts in the Archdiocese of Galveston, Houston. The game time is 7 o'clock. The location is on the campus of Rice University, the Tudor Fieldhouse. Tickets can be purchased through the Houston Vocations website. That's HoustonVocations.com. And of course, we at KSHJ, this radio station, will broadcast the game once again here on the radio on AM 1430, again, Friday evening at 7 o'clock. Again, our thanks to David Magianis, who's going to spearhead our efforts for broadcasting that game and do some of the play-by-play. Again, Friday, April 17th. So if you can't make it in person, you can always listen right here on KSHJ. Want to remind everyone that tomorrow morning will be a fun morning because we have the KSHJ prayer breakfast tomorrow morning. So join us with a quick update here on the radio is Zachary Allen. Zach is KSHJ General Manager. Hey, Zach.
Wyatt, good to be with you again.
Yeah, so we got the big prayer breakfast again. I know this one is in Katy, and our Katy prayer breakfasts are always so popular. Everybody wants them. They request them. They say, when's the next prayer breakfast?
Yeah, you know, I've actually had a few people from all around the Archdiocese say, hey, when are you going to bring the prayer breakfast back to, let's say, Conroe or something? And I say, hey, when we get some volunteers out there like we have in Katy, we'll be right there. We are so blessed. Mr. Rinda Obsta, Miss Claudia Garza, they really jump on it. They find speakers that are great to come in. They find deacons to come in and lead the prayer. They find a restaurant. They communicate that to me, and then we all blast out the information and invite as many people as we can. The restaurant's done a great job of keeping the prices down. So, I mean, $10 a person for a nice breakfast in the morning, some community building, some prayer, hearing a nice talk, especially this month with Dr. Chinelo Okoye giving a talk on raising her twins that had autism, and it is April, which is Autism Awareness Month. So from a Catholic perspective and from her perspective being a doctor, you know, raising her twins in the faith, I think it would be a great talk. And I think a lot of people would enjoy listening and enjoy the community. So hopefully you can all make it out there with us. We're at Mi Pueblito Restaurant in Katy. If you go to Google Maps, you type in Mi Pueblito. There's a bunch of those around Houston. But if you type in Mi Pueblito Restaurant, there's only two, and there's only one in Katy. So that's the one that we're at tomorrow. And it's a nice little place. They do a great job setting it up for us in the morning. We're the only ones there. And so from 7 to 9 a.m., we would love to have you with us.
Yeah, I remember being there last time at Mi Pueblito in Katy. And it's such, like I said, it's a nice location. Fun to be there. They had great food there. So like you're saying, Zach, yeah, it cost us only $10. That's fantastic in this day and age for a breakfast. So people have their choice. Of course, we will accept walk-ins tomorrow morning, Tuesday, April 14th. But of course, over the last hour or so, just within the last hour, since we've been on the air broadcasting, Zach, you'd sent out an email blast right before this show. We've been getting a few people going online and paying in advance, and that's the best way to do it. So I want to encourage people to visit our website. It's grnonline.com. So if you go onto it's Guadalupe Radio Network. If you go onto grnonline.com, there's a tab at the top. It's called Events, and you can look for Catholic Prayer Breakfast. If you click on that, Catholic Prayer Breakfast, it'll pop you up. It's luckily ours right now is the only one scheduled, so you can click on the link there for Houston. And you can pay right now, and that way it'll help us with our head count. So we're making sure we're getting all the information to Mi Pueblito. So, I was going to say that's going to be a lot of fun. And then remind me, Zach, the speaker, and then we have a deacon who's doing the initial prayer, right?
That's right. So we've got Dr. Chinelo Okoye is going to be the lead speaker. And okay. So she'll be giving a talk on raising her twins that have autism, and so raising them in the Catholic faith. And, of course, she's going to be giving that talk in April. That's why we scheduled this for this month, because it is Autism Awareness Month across, you know, I would say the world, but maybe it's just the nation or
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I didn't realize April is Autism Awareness Month, so thanks for reminding me. That's just a good fact.
Okay. Yeah, so Dorinda and Miss Claudia, they knew that, so that's why we got Dr. Okoye scheduled for this particular prayer breakfast. And we'll also be having Deacon Chris Walker, who's over at Epiphany of the Lord in Katy as well, coming over to lead the prayer and then to do the final blessing. So very thankful for support from throughout the Katy community. We've got, Deacon coming over from Epiphany. Miss Claudia goes over to St. Edith Stein, and Mr. Rinda goes over to St. Bartholomew's. Yeah, so, we've got, three of the big churches out in Katy covered. So if you go to any of those parishes, maybe you go over to St. Faustina in Fulshear there if you're in the Katy area. If you're within 30 minutes, I would say make an effort to come out. It's only 7 to 9. So, you're not going to miss that much work, but you'll have a great time. If you need to head out, we're usually kind of wrapped up by about 8:30, 8:40 anyways. And then we just kind of spend some time chit-chatting until 9. So if you got to leave a little bit before that, you could. But we'd still love to have you out there. And like I said, I mean, $10 for a good breakfast and good Catholic community, opportunity to learn something and support your local station. I mean, that's a great morning. And I usually don't even mention it, but typically there's some door prizes. So one more reason to show up. So
yeah. Also, I appreciate that shout out, by the way, Zach, to St. Faustina Catholic Church in Fulshire, because they had their big festival yesterday, of course, for Divine Mercy Sunday on Sunday, April the 12th. So shout out to everybody at St. Faustina in Fulshire, who had worked really hard on their festival for Divine Mercy Sunday. So very good. So, yeah, I think we'll get a few people in from that neck of the woods as well, from Fulshire, to join us for the prayer breakfast in Katy tomorrow. So again, just to reiterate, hopefully you can get on there and sign up. Again, it's grnonline.com, and look under the events tab for Catholic prayer breakfast. Again, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. If for some reason you're in a hurry and you're not able to sign up online, we will take walk-ins. Yep. Luckily, it's only $10. A great price.
Yeah, if you find a $10 bill in your, you know, in your pocket or something,
it happens.
Save it for tomorrow.
It happens. One other quick thing I want to mention before we go, we're almost running out of time for this program, but we've still got some signups. People can sign up for GRN Academy. Classes are starting soon on that. Zach, what is that real quickly? What's GRN Academy?
Yeah, and you know, you say soon, and by soon we mean tonight. So
okay, it starts tonight.
Yeah, GRN Academy, the second spring session will kick off tonight with Dave Palmer's class on how to live a happy and joyful life both now and in eternity. And he's going to give the class teachings based on St. Thomas Aquinas' understandings and teachings on happiness and joy. It'll be a great class. But throughout the week, we've got for the next 7 weeks, we'll have classes by Dave Palmer, Monsignor Pope, Vanessa Den Hagarmo, and Julie Carrick. We've got 5 different courses for you to choose from. Check out the website, grnonline.com/academy. You can register today. You can register tomorrow. Even if you, let's say, register tomorrow for Dave's class that had the first one tonight, all the classes are recorded. So if you miss one, you can always watch the recording and jump back in the conversation the next week.
Very good. So again, that's GRN Academy. You can go onto our website, grnonline.com. Look for GRN Academy. It'll give you all the details that Zach is talking about, the different classes, the different teachers, which is a fun way to learn more about the faith without having to spend a fortune on a college education.
So, right.
Again, we appreciate everybody's support and everybody's listening. Again, visit our website, grnonline.com, for all of those initiatives under events, GRN Academy. Again, my thanks to Zach Allen, Tim Mott, David Magianis, Jax Morris, and everybody here at Studio KSHJ AM 1430. Thank you again for your support, and until next time, stay Catholic, Houston.